or if I had a sudden attack of stage fright. Regardless, waiting can cause a slight degree of stress or even a tad bit of irritability. It is not a popular pastime in our culture today. You know, we pay our bills and do our banking on the internet, online. There are no long lines that we have to wait for. We have drive-thrus to get our food much quicker and conveniently. We take our photos. Well, we take our photos on a camera so they're instant. You remember the days of the Polaroid camera where you had to wait and then take the picture out and you had to wait 60 seconds or whatever and flap it around and wait for the image to come? And now you just take that photo and there it is. Waiting. Patience. For some, these words are polar opposites. How can you have patience while you're waiting? Well, let me press that elevator button 6 or 7 more times and it's going to open a lot quicker for me. You know, where did we learn to have patience? Well, most likely from our parents. I'm sure that you have heard or have used these lines as a parent. No, not now. You can have that when you're older. Well, how old do you have to be, you know, to get that BB gun? You know, I'm still waiting. Just wait a while and I'll get it for you. You know it's never coming then. Wait for your birthday. Well, which one? Wait a bit and just be patient. Well, somewhere along the line, those lessons about waiting are forgotten and have not been passed on to the next generation because impatient drivers tailgate those they think are driving too slow. Loud whispers can be heard complaining about the person up front at the checkout that they need a price check on an item. Or our blood can boil when we have to be put on hold. I like to think that I have a little patience. My wife may not agree with that, but this was a few Thanksgivings ago that I was in line at the grocery store, and the lady ahead of me had brought her big butterball turkey up there. Well, the barcode, that the scanning label, had fallen off. And someone had to be called to go to check on the price while we all waited in line. Well, after a few minutes, the clerk, who appeared to be new at her job, was very apologetic to me and said that she was sorry that I had to wait. Well, I said it was no problem, and I didn't have anywhere to go but to be in that line right there at that time. Waiting patiently. You know, I read about a first grade teacher who was having a difficult day. It had rained the entire day and the children couldn't go out for recess. Believe me, that's stressful in itself. So they got more and more restless and hyperactive as the day wore on. The teacher couldn't wait for the bell to ring at 3 o'clock when the children were dismissed. So at about 2:45, she saw it was still raining, so she decided to get a start on getting the kids ready to go home. She sorted out their boots and raincoats and started helping get them on. And finally, when they were ready to go, there was one little boy whose boots were just too small for his feet. There were no zippers or straps, and it took every last gasp of her strength to put those boots on. Oh, when she got them on, she straightened up. Whew. That's when the little boy looked up at her after looking at his feet and teacher, you know what? These boots aren't mine. She didn't know whether to laugh or cry, but being the good teacher she was, she smiled bravely and started taking them off. And they were even harder to get off than they were to put on. She yanked and she tugged until finally the boots were off. That's when the little boy smiled and said, "They're not my boots, they're my sister's, and I get to wear them today." As God's chosen ones, Paul says, clothe yourselves with patience. When we are clothed with patience, we can absorb life's irritations and annoyances. We can absorb them the way a good thick towel absorbs splatters and spills. Patience absorbs irritants without letting them paralyze you. One writer suggests we think of patience as a good motor oil. It doesn't remove all the contaminants. It just puts them in suspension so they don't get into the works and seize them up. Good way to put it. Patient people have a large crankcase. They can put a lot of irritants into suspension. Suppose someone sits behind you on an airplane and constantly coughs and sneezes. Patience means instead of strangling them, you put your irritants into suspension. If your son or daughter has been out on the town and they come home and there's no gas left in the tank, instead of grounding them for life, you put in that situation in suspension for a while, and you wait for a calm, teachable moment. Suppose you leave work early and go across town for a doctor's appointment, and you find yourself waiting in the waiting room for an hour. Rather than rant and rave, you put it in your crankcase. Patient people have this capacity to absorb irritants without seizing up. Oh, sure, patient people, they get annoyed like everyone else. They know that there is a time to speak up, a time to deal with something directly. But until the time is right for that, until they are right for that, they have a place to put their annoyances without exploding and losing control. I pray for those who might need a bigger crankcase. You might be asking, well, Tom, where do I get this patience? Well, patience is a fruit of the Spirit, and that means it's partially something God does in us. Developing patience requires some effort on our part, some cooperation with what God is trying to do. I can offer four suggestions. First, try to see annoying people, even hurtful people, through the lens of imaginative love. If you're stuck behind a pokey driver in the left lane, you know, instead of tailgating, imagine the driver is someone's grandparent. Really good grandparent. You don't tailgate your grandparents. You protect them. The lens of imaginative love. To put it another way, try to see difficult people the way Jesus saw them. We wonder, why are they acting in such a distasteful manner, in an obnoxious way? They could be experiencing great pain in their lives. Maybe they have been hurt in such a way that they act distant and rejected. You want to develop patience? Try to see that hurtful person through the eyes of Jesus, through the eyes of that imaginative love. Second, it helps to hang around the patient people we know. Draw ourselves to people with pretty big crankcases. I don't mean to embarrass anyone, and I won't bring up any names, but, you know, there are those in our congregation here who have pretty big crankcases and people who have great patience. My wife has great patience, at least I think so. Where is she? I don't even know. Raise your hand. Okay, there you are. Okay. And my parents had great patience, and maybe they have given that to me, that gift. Lois's mother, who is going through a difficult time right now, has great patience. She has since I've known her. So I surrounded myself with people who have great patience. Third, it helps to keep in mind how incredibly patient God has been with me. How many times have I gotten on God's nerves? How many times have I ignored God? And yet he has always been there for me. Never given up on me. Never lost patience with me. When I remember God's patience, I find it a little easier to be patient with those around me. You know, as a school teacher, I had to remember that often. And I had to ask for patience from God. Finally, it helps to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. When we look at Jesus with patience in mind, what do we see? Well, we see him there on the cross, absorbing not just my imperfections, but the accumulated evil of the whole world. He absorbs that sin and suffering without passing it on, without inflicting it on others and breaking this cycle of retaliation and vengeance in which this world is trapped. Taking a long look at Jesus on that cross, somehow the irritations of the world around me don't seem so urgent. Christ's passion for justice is infinitely greater than mine. The waiting game. What can we do while we are waiting? There are two kinds of waiting, and I talked to this about the children with the children this morning. There's passive waiting, and there's active waiting. Let's say you're waiting at the airport terminal. People are awaiting the arrival of a flight. And you notice a man seated in a chair who has dozed off. He's waiting for his flight. But while he's waiting, he becomes bored and falls asleep. He thinks there will be plenty of time to prepare for his flight. And he is sleeping. I'm sure we've all been in a situation similar to this one. The man is passively waiting. Also waiting for the plane is a young boy. He can't seem to sit still. He is constantly going to the window and looking out the runway, eagerly anticipating the arrival of his plane. He is chatting with excitement to fellow travelers waiting also. He is full of anticipation, expecting the plane to arrive at any minute. He is actively waiting. We can choose to wait passively like the man, just filling time until we're called. This kind of passive waiting doesn't require much energy or attention. We deal with our own concerns and look after ourselves. There is no need to bother with prayer, worship, mission, the Bible, or with living the Christian life. Or like the small boy, we can wait with eager expectation. This waiting involves prayer. It involves worship, mission. It involves reading the Bible and living the Christian life, going out of your way to serve others and not just looking after your own needs. Advent is the season of the church when we consider how well we are actively waiting for the return of Jesus. We spend a lot of time waiting. Someone worked that out, that we spend 6 months of our life sitting at traffic lights. But that is nothing more important than to wait for the return of the Master. They say that good things come to those that wait. This Advent season, in the midst of all the hustle and bustle of Christmas, let us wait. Let us wait patiently for the arrival of the greatest gift of all, the birth of Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, may you teach us great patience on how to wait this holiday season. Let us be actively waiting for the arrival of the promised one, And that we may still serve and love and give and share all we know about you. Amen.